Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Then Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks to God and distributed them to the people. After he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. Somebody say, all you can eat. After everyone was full, turn to your neighbor and just tell him, I'm full. Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. Turn to your neighbor one more time and just tell them, don't waste anything. Tell them everything has value. Tell them everything has purpose. Every season, every scar, every surrender. Praise God. Let's pray real quick. God, we thank you for your word. Pray that you'd open up our minds, our hearts, our spirit for what you are about to deposit into our life, God. Lord, let it be a seed that grows. Let it grow, God, and produce great fruit, fruit that remains, fruit that produces more fruit. Lord, let today's service be a service of deliverance, God, of healing, God, of salvation, empowering by your spirit, and every other good gift that James says you give us. Lord, we declare it to be so in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For the last 2 weeks, we have confronted the lie about leftovers. And I believe this is for more than just one or two people in the room today, but in 2026, we are struggling, some of us, with the thought of some wasted moments and seasons of our life. But Jesus reminds the disciples here in this initial text that make sure that nothing is wasted. Jesus doesn't mind the broken pieces as long as he gets all of the pieces. Jesus just doesn't want us bringing what we think we want or we think he should have. He wants every piece of our life. In the last 2 weeks, we talked about that Jesus notices what other people overlook, that fragments still carry multiplication power. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, when Elisha says, how can I help you? What do you have in your house? She says, I only have a flask of oil. And we know that this is fragmented talk. It's not what I need. It's not what it should be. It's not what it could be. But I want to encourage you again this week. Catch yourself before you let fragmented talk undo the miracle that God has in front of you. We don't need fragmented talk. We need faithful talk. So whether you're talking about the crumb or the loaf of bread, they all contain the same ingredients. And it's important that we realize that no matter who we are, no matter what we've gone through, when you give your life to Jesus, Jesus will make every imperfect, every piece of your life work for the good, praise God, and that your ending will be greater than your beginning, but you have to, praise God, know that nothing that I've been through is wasted. In your hands, it might be a crumb, but in God's hands, it becomes a seed. The oil for that woman, it seems small, just fragments, just leftovers, but it paid her debts. It saved her sons, and it changed her future. And Jesus does the same thing in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 14, verse 20. This is Matthew's account. They ate all that they wanted, and afterwards the disciple picked up 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Didn't look like 12 basketfuls, but they were looking at it through fragmented eyes. There's a little piece over here, and there was a couple crumbs over here. And if you're like me, when you get to the heel of the loaf is what we called it in my house. Does anybody eat the heel of the loaf? That's the two end pieces. Y'all like those? Everybody that just lifted their hand is over 60 years old. I just want to point that out. Just from what I can see. But I'm going to bless the over 60-year-old because guess what? That's bread too. And you know why it looks like that? Because that bread got through the closer to the fire than the other part of the bread did. See, I can preach about anything, y'all. 12 basketfuls of leftover. Get this in your spirit, church. The miracle doesn't just meet your need. It creates overflow. 12 baskets of fragments. What in our life have we overlooked because it looks so small by itself, but God said it was never meant to remain by itself. And here's a word for how you're supposed to do life. You were never meant to exist on your own or by yourself. That's why a church community is so important, because when I'm by myself, I'm not much. But when I get with the Greens and with the Clarks, and me and Mandy are together, when Miss Reba and Miss Angie in the middle, when we all get together, there is no weaknesses. They cover my weaknesses, I cover their weaknesses. And what we look like when we were disfragmented apart, when we get together, praise God, something special happens. That's why your Bible says when two or three touch anything, when two or three gather. Why? Because by yourself you can't do much. I believe Elder Green said it like this, that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. You by yourself cannot do much, but if you will get with the right people, don't live a fragmented life. Live a faithful life. Somebody say amen. Amen. This tells us this truth. What remains after loss is still anointed for increase. I know it's been a few weeks, but somebody just needs to declare, it's February and I'm still anointed. I'm still anointed. Well, Pastor, didn't you lose this in 2023? Yeah, but I'm still anointed. What is left is still anointed. And if you can get enough of what's left, praise God. Well, I don't have enough to make a sandwich. That's because you're looking at crumbs by themselves. But if you get enough crumbs together, praise God, you'll find enough, praise God, where you can put them together and make something out of them. You may not have what you started with, but you still have something. That's a word for somebody. And if you still have something, I know it's 2026, but God is not done. He is not finished. If it's still in your hands, God is not finished with it. Don't curse what survived. Don't underestimate what remains. Don't despise the fragment. If you're taking notes, write this down. Nothing collected is ever wasted. Let's look at it through the lens of Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Let me remind for the new believers, or maybe the older believers that had forgot, it doesn't say that all things are good. It says that all things God will cause to work them together for your good. That's the fragment that you thought about leaving. God said, nope, that's what's going to be the thing that unleashes the next breakthrough or testimony in your life. God works all things together for good. The broken pieces don't stay random. The fragments cannot stay scattered. God gathers them and begins to weave them into your purpose. Looking back 10 years, you see things that were painful in that moment. But now, like Paul, you say, I glory in that affliction. Because out of that, look what God brought. Out of those broken, fragmented seasons of my life, look at what God produced. Isaiah 43:19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you know it? Not? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God doesn't waste wilderness seasons. He builds roads in them. God doesn't waste dry seasons. He releases rivers into them. Your fragments will become the biggest testimonies of your life once you place them in the hands of God. And I'm here to remind you, nothing is wasted. Put it in God's hands. The thing you thought disqualified you, that's going to give you credibility. The season that you wish you could erase is going to give someone the evidence that God has been faithful to you and he will be faithful to them. Your fragments are not shameful. Your fragments are seed. Check this out. Fragments, wasted moments, seasons that I wish I could forget, if they stay in my hands, all it does is bring shame. But if I take those fragments, very same fragments, and put them in the hands of God, what was shame in my hands becomes seed in his hands. And he says, Brandon, watch what I can do with this ingredient. Watch what I do when I can put this thing together. Watch what I can do when I put you back on the potter's wheel and I get a little extra clay from over here and that broken piece and that marred piece. He said, in your hands, it's shameful. But if you're in my hands, it becomes seed. It becomes seed. So that means you got to let it go. You got to do your best Frozen. You ought to sing to the top of it. No, don't do that. I believe today Ooh, I love this. When God gave this to me, I just had to shout at it in my office. I believe today that your nothing wasted era has begun. We're always talking about this is this era, this is this era. This is the best era of your life where you look back and say, in 44 years, everything I went through, none of that was wasted. Why? Because I've taken it all and I've given it to God. And those things that I wanted to forget about, they are going to be the seed to the greatest thing and the greatest fruit that God has ever produced in my life. If you believe that and that's a word for you, I need you to stand up, jump up on your feet for 10 seconds and say, nothing has been wasted. My nothing wasted era begins and starts now. Praise God. High five three people and tell them nothing wasted. Tell them my nothing wasted era starts now. Today Jesus is saying to people in the room, don't throw that away. Don't overlook that. Don't despise that season. Gather those things up. Gather your faith again, your hope again, your joy again, your heart again. Gather the fragments because nothing is wasted in the kingdom of God. If you're here today and you feel like my life is in shambles and I've been left in pieces, I want you to know that Jesus is not disappointed in your pieces. He wants every piece of your life. The broken pieces, the imperfect pieces, the embarrassing pieces, the pieces of your past. And what God gathers, hear this, he redeems. And what God redeems, he multiplies. And what God multiplies, he will use for his glory. The miracle was in the surrender of what this little boy had in his 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What you release to Jesus will never stay small. That's a simple phrase. But what you release to Jesus, it will never stay small. It will grow. It will become the seed of future. It will become the seed of purpose. It will become the seed of the greatest outpouring of God and his spirit in your life. It never stays small. What you release, church, determines what God multiplies. Here's what I've been guilty of. I won't talk about you, I'll talk about me, and I'll get mad at me, praise God. I'll get offended at me. Sometimes I've been angry at God for what he refuses to multiply when I will not let go of it. I want him to multiply it in my hand, and God says, I can't multiply it in your hand. You gotta put it in my hand, and then I'll multiply it. And guess what? After I multiply it in my hand, I'll give it right back to you. But we wanna hold it. You multiply it right here, God says, can't do that. You got to relinquish it. Why? Because if I multiply it in your hand, it takes no faith. And then here's the other thing. God don't trust me. You know how I know God don't trust me? Because I don't trust me. God says if I multiply it in your hand, guess who's going to take the glory and credit for it? You are. It is God that gives us the power to gain wealth. Promotion doesn't come from the north, south, east, or west. It comes from God. And so God says, if you want me to promote you, if you want me to add, if you want me to multiply, you're going to have to let it go. Why? Because no flesh will glory in his presence. Some of us have the crazy thought that we are going to get mad at God for not meeting us on our terms and doing it our way. But I am here to tell you, God is not trying to build your glory. God wants your story to bring him glory. You can keep it and you can control it, or you can release it and watch God expand it. Here's the thing, church, and I'm guilty of this. You cannot release it and control it. You cannot release it and control it. If I were to gift you $1,000, somebody needs to have big faith today. That would take big faith, y'all. I don't even want to give Mandy $1,000. If I were to give you $1,000 and say, here's this is a gift for you, but you can only spend it for this, this, and this. I can't give you a gift and then quantify or qualify my gift and how you should use it. Some of us are saying, God, here, I'm gonna give this to you, but I'm gonna hold on to it. But this is what I need you to do. And that's why God can't have us involved in the multiplication process other than just letting it go. Because God says, I'm gonna do with it what I want to do with it. I'm gonna do with it what is going to be the best for you and for the kingdom and to reach people and lost souls. And if it stays in your hands, you can't release it and control it. You can only do one. You can either hold on or you can control it. You cannot do both. Or let it go or control it. You cannot do both. John chapter 6, verse 9. This is John's version of this. There is a lad who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? That's fragmented talk. Jesus said, make the people sit down. I love when you read the Gospels, and I'm talking about really, really study the Gospels, there is a lot of dumb disciples. I've been one of them. And if you read the Gospels, I'm talking about from beginning to end, all 4 Gospels, you see many times the disciples say dumb things, and you know how I know they're dumb? Jesus never responds to what they said. How many of you ever had children? You just ignore the stupidity sometimes. You just shake your head saying, yeah, they got that from their mama's side or their daddy's side or their in-law's side. Or they get it from their daddy. I prefer preach it, white boy, than those remarks. Verse 10, Jesus doesn't respond to the dumb disciples, and we've all been dumb disciples. I have been one of them, more than I'd like to admit. Jesus said, make them sit down. There was much grass in the place, so the men sat down. The number was about 5,000, just the men, not including their families, so somewhere around 20,000, maybe more. Jesus takes the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. The disciples saw a lack. That's why they said, what is 5 loaves and 2 fish? Follow me here now. What is 5 loaves and 2 fish in a crowd of 20,000? They saw the crowd and then looked at the lunch. So they were focused on the need. God saw the lunch and the faith. Then he looked at the crowd. This is powerful. God says, I'm going to look at what's been given first so I know how much I need to give. This is powerful. If you were here 3 Wednesday nights ago, we talked about the enemy comes in like a wave, and God always lets the enemy move with his way first, because God says, now I know how big my wave needs to be when he raises the standard. They're looking at the need. God's looking at the seed. They're looking at 20,000 people saying, how is he going to get this done? Jesus is looking at the faith of a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish saying, there's no way that I can't honor this kind of faith. And he has gathered, brought to me what others would look past and say, this is nothing. They looked at the need. Jesus looked at the seed. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your possessions. That's what this little boy did, with the first fruits of all of your increase. I love this. The little boy didn't eat 1 fish and 2 loaves of bread and say, all right, here's 3 loaves of bread and 1 fish. That still would have worked for Jesus, because Jesus could have produced it out of nothing. But this little boy said, hey, before I eat, let me just put this in the master's hand. That's what we call first fruits. There was other people who had food there, but they had already eaten it. Can I holler at everybody who is eating your seed in 2026 instead of sowing your seed? I knew it'd get quiet there. Can I talk to those of you that you went ahead and put it in someone else's hand instead of the hand of God? Can I talk to somebody who's put it in your pocket instead of the hand of God? Can I talk to a stingy saint in the room and said, God, you're going to have to get it from someone else? No, God wants it from you. If you want him to bless you, if you want him to work in you, it's got to come from you. Honor the Lord with your possessions, first fruits of all your increase. Your barns will be filled. Praise God. I don't know how many of you got barns. I got a barn, praise God, and I want it to be filled. But even if you don't have a barn, your storehouse, your house, whatever your address is, wherever you bank, whatever that credit union is, wherever your 401k is, whatever investments, God said, I will do it there, but I need something from you first. First fruits. I'll overflow it. Filled with plenty. Faith doesn't wait. Oh, I love this. Faith doesn't wait for abundance. Faith releases what's available. Y'all pray for me. My biggest My patience is running thin, not with church folk, with contractors. If you're watching today, and Tyler says the contractors don't watch, one day they're going to watch, praise God. Met with contractors this morning before 7 a.m. at the house. And I'm up here getting ready for church, and they send me a picture. All right, we finished, and they sent me a video, to which I picked up the phone and I called them. This is right before church. I said, yeah, you finished. That wasn't the job you were hired to do. Wrong building. Wrong job. You need to put that back like it was, and you need to go back to our text and our videos and the pictures I sent you last week and redo it, to which they did. And then I said, and make sure you're not charging me for your mistakes. Talking to somebody today on your terms, patience, having what faith releases, what's available. Faith doesn't wait for abundance. Whatever you have available, that's what God is going to require from you. These contractors I talk to all the time, they're always giving me the runaround on scheduling and time. So this is what I do now. I just say, what day and time works best for you? And I'll rearrange my entire schedule. What I'm saying is I'm always available, except Sundays at 11 and Wednesdays at 7. I'm always available. God is not looking at what you have or don't have in abundance. God is looking at, hey, God, I'm available. If you're game, I'm game. What you want to do, I'll do. If you ask me for something, I have it somewhere around here, and maybe it's in fragments and I need to get all those seeds together to give to you, or maybe I've forgotten about something. There was an app that I used years and years ago. It was one of those roundup apps that every time you spent money, it would round it up to the dollar and just collected and did this for years and years, and I pulled some money out and I forgot about the account. And finally they emailed me and said, hey, you haven't done anything with this account and you've got money in here. And I looked in and it was like $2,800. Praise God. Didn't even know it was there. How much are we praying for God to give us that we already have, but it's fragmented and we have not brought it all together? You don't need more in your hand. You need more trust in your heart. What your hand matters, of course, but what's in your heart really matters. Got a couple more moments here. Obedience activates multiplication. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. When Jesus had stopped speaking, Jesus said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. The miracle followed obedience. Here's a big one, not logic. If you're looking at Jesus through lens of logic, you're always going to withhold, and you're always going to see fragments instead of faith. Logic is not, listen, I want to encourage you, go to school, get a great education, and get some common sense, praise God. But at the end of the day, you've got to just say, God, if this is what you've called me to do, it doesn't have to make sense to me. It sure doesn't have to make sense to my parents, my friends, my BFFs, and my enemies. If this is what you've called me to do, God, I know, God, that it's going to take faith and obedience, and logic has to go out the window. Breakthrough lives on the other side of nevertheless. Partial obedience produces limited results. Full obedience unlocks overflow. You can argue with the word or you can act on it, but only one releases the power. Social media has become a place of arguments and debates. You realize that most people who are telling you how the country should be run, the state should be run, and the city should be run are on their fourth marriage. They got 8 kids by 6 different people. They're typing on their phone in their mama's basement or on their daddy's couch. And they want to tell you about your God and what God has led you to do. I'm sorry, I don't listen to fragmented people. I'm talking and walking faith. And so if you talk and walk in faith, you are my people. If you're talking fragments, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to keep it moving. Got a couple moments left here. God multiplies for impact. This is so powerful. God multiplies for impact, not display. Here's something that we at Living Way have to be very careful of, very mindful of. I've talked to Tyler and Jaden about it as they lead worship, and I've mentioned it to their team and teams next door and just leadership in general, but really as it pertains to platform ministry. We have to be very, very careful that we make sure that what we do up here is powerful presence, not performance. Because we don't want to move your emotions. We want the Spirit of God in you to move. And there's a lot of times where we get very close to that line. And a lot of times, I see them all on social media, some of my favorite preachers. Boy, they can preach good, and they talk about how great church was. They've gotten really good at church without Jesus ever showing up. And just because the B3 is humming, praise God, and just because a couple people take a couple laps or somebody stomping their feet, they think it's good church. Listen, I can have good church. I've learned to have good church without Jesus. But if I'm needing a move of God, if I'm needing the God of the universe to show up and shift something, it cannot be performance. It has to be presence. God multiplies for the impact, not the display, not what we can see. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them all. God gave great power to the apostles so that they would have great witness. Not so that they could build great crowds. Not so that they could lift big offerings. God said, here's my power. Here's my authority. Here's my presence. Put that on display. Let people see what living for Jesus really looks like and what it will really do in your life. He said, it's not just for you to draw crowds, but it's for the audience of one or one in front of you, that this is what the Lord can do. And he's done that today, not for display, not for the show me a sign generation, but for the presence generation. Stand on your feet in the room. This is something that I have to remember every time I get impatient with God working a miracle or breakthrough in my life. Miracles are never just for you. They're for the crowd. If the miracle stops with you, you've missed the point. The miracle always is beyond the host body or the host life of that miracle. 3 years ago, Tyler mentioned it during worship, lost over half of his body's blood. Manny and I made it up here from Seguin, Texas in 16 minutes. And we prayed in the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues all the way over here, 2 or 3 in the morning. And as much as that miracle was for Tyler and Alyssa and me and Mandy and Jaden and our family, that miracle was done so that on February 15, 2026, during worship, while people's eyes and focus are on Jesus, that a young man can say, this is what God did for me. And I want to display it to another generation of believers. No one will pray for you. I'm closing with this. No one will pray for you like you pray for you. So pray for you. However, I've been guilty of praying a lot of one-sided prayers. Bless me. Provide for me. Heal me. Deliver me. And I'm not saying don't pray those prayers, because no one will pray for you, not even your own mama. No one will pray for you like you'll pray for you, because you know you and you know what you need. But here's the thing about just praying personal prayers. Provision, God's provision, is personal. But God's multiplication is missional. It goes beyond you and goes beyond me. So here's what I pray now. God, heal me so I can heal others. Deliver me so I can deliver others. Bless me so I can be a blessing. Give me wisdom so I can help the next generation of believers. If all you do is provide for me, that's personal, and I thank you, Jesus. But When I gather up all of these leftovers so that nothing is wasted, and I place them in your hand, now, like the little boy with the five fish and two loaves, it is now not just personal provision, it is now turned into missional multiplication. God, here's my Happy Meal. Feed these 20,000 people. And guess what? Just like Tyler 3 years ago, and now he has something to say, that little boy didn't know that 2,000 years later, hundreds of people would be gathered in San Antonio, Texas, halfway around the world, and they would be heralding his faith and his not overlooking the small. If you're in this room today and life has you fragmented, man, there's some real needs in this room. As I walked through worship and greeted people, I stopped and prayed with a couple people that you're fighting for some things in life. You're torn. Seems like pieces are missing. Nothing is truly missing. You might not see it, but it's still there. You might not know where it is, but God knows where every piece is. I want to open this altar right now for those of you that are dealing with a fragmented life, dealing with broken pieces. My friend, all the way from Oklahoma today, God bless you. Come on in, Rick. God bless you. Come on in, Kiara, Jax, Jake. Brought your fragments, tears flowing, fragments. Broken pieces, praise God. We're going to get ready to pray for those in this altar, but there's another dozen or two. Let's talk about your marriage. How broken is it? Not too broken. Let's talk about your kids. When I feel this one strong, and I've never really mentioned this one publicly in a moment like this, but can I talk to the parents that came to Jesus later in life after you had already raised your kids? And you might have raised them not knowing Jesus, and now your heart hurts because your kids are now broken. They're addicted. They're far from God. And you've been beating yourself up. God, I don't know if they're ever going to get that revelation. God, I wish I had met you before I had them. Bring God the broken pieces. Come and stand in their stead this morning. Whatever you have in your life that you need, you've got enough, and what you have is still anointed. Gather those pieces and bring them to this altar right now. If you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, this is your moment. He came and died so that you might have life and life in abundance. He wants you to go to heaven at the end of your life, and that comes through a real relationship with Jesus. This is your moment. We're not going to embarrass you. This is your moment. Look within yourself.